So for Christmas, I got a gift. Mary and I got a gift. And it came from Dave and Amy. And so I decided that today I would just kind of take a look at what was the message. And I'm going to read it verbatim to you because it is so, so cool. And it fits like a glove what we're going to talk about. It's taken from Exodus and 33 and John 15, but it says, "Let me prepare you for the day that stretches out before you. I know exactly what this day will contain, whereas you have only vague ideas about it. I want you to think of 2025, and that's just a day. You would like to see a map showing you all the twists and turns of your journey. You'd feel more prepared if you could somehow visualize what is on the road ahead. However, there is a better way to be prepared for whatever you will encounter today or in the year 2025. Spend quality time with me. I will not show you what is on the road ahead, but I will thoroughly equip, underline equip, you for the journey. My living presence is your companion each step of the way. Stay in continual communication with me, whispering my name wherever you need to redirect your thoughts. Thus you can walk through this day, through this year, with your focus on me. My abiding presence is the best roadmap available." I love that. As we begin 2025, I want to talk about us getting equipped. So the first thing I want to talk about is I sent out a notice to everybody, not just the people in this room, but everybody who is associated with our church, that starting tomorrow morning, I want to get through the word in a year. And so I am sending out a notice to everybody. This is Mary's idea, not mine. So she gives all the credit. But I want you to join me as we read through the word completely in 1 year. It'll take about 14 minutes a day. Like the first day would be Genesis, the first three chapters of Genesis. I already started this, and I'm doing a restart so that others can join me. And I also, the app we're using is YouVersion, and it will actually read it to you as you read it. So you can hear it as you read it, which is really powerful anyways, because when you hear it and see it at the same time, it sticks a lot better. And also, it makes it a lot more fun. Plus, you get into these passages like the Amorites and the Hittites, and I can't even pronounce all of them. But they can, and his voice is like this guy, like this James Earl Jones kind of voice. So it makes it a lot of fun, and it makes it a lot easier. And I think we're going to be very successful. I've got about 15 so far that are joining us on this journey. So you certainly can. I have sent you an invitation, and I'll help you with that. So if you don't have the app, I will help you get the app, and we'll help you come along. So that's number one, to get us equipped. If we read the entire word, and you know me, I'm not one for reading quickly. I'm one for really just digging into scripture and letting it speak to us slowly. But we also need a context, an overview of the entire word, so that we can understand how it all fits together. And to do that, we really need to read the entire word. So that's why I'm on this journey. My pledge to you, my commitment to you in 2025 is to equip you in any way I can. Which brings me to our second thing. On our Wednesday nights, we're going to start moving into a more of a discipleship focus, more of a really digging in deeper about what it means to be a follower. And so I invite you to come along on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. We're going to continue as we are for the rest of January, but come February, we're going to move into the discipleship mode. And I found an amazing resource that it's not that difficult, but it will take where you have to use it each day during the week. Kind of like reading the Bible in a year. It takes that ongoing diligence. But that's how we grow, and that's how we are equipped. So as we look at equipping, I want to talk about that. And I want to look at Paul from Galatians 2, verse 11. Paul speaking to the churches again, the ones that he's planted. He says to them, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. That is so important. The gospel is not coming from people. The gospel is not some stories that somebody came up with. The gospel is not even just the facts of what has happened as Jesus became incarnated as we celebrated at Christmas. The gospel is supernatural. In fact, God's word is supernatural. That's why I want us to be in this word, in the word for a year, and I want us to be in this discipleship thing. I want us to get equipped with the word. Because the word is supernatural. And as we take in the word, we change. We transform. There is a guy named Thich Nhat Hanh who believes, and I believe with him, and science attests to this, that everything we see or hear becomes a part of us. And that's because we never forget. We're like elephants. We never forget. Everything that ever happened, everything we've ever seen, everything we've ever heard stays in our subconscious forever.
Unless you have Alzheimer's.
So, but the idea here is to bring it to the conscious level, to bring it into our awareness, so that whenever we need to, we can bring it back. That's like that little God's Promises book. About reading little pieces of scripture of if you're afraid or discouraged or need encouragement, whatever it is, and there's verses that can help encourage you or move you or persuade you. So this year, 2025, is going to be about equipping. That's what Paul's doing with these churches. He's equipping them. He's teaching them. He's training them. We read so many things of bad news in the church, right? Like the churches are having a hard time getting people, and the churches in America are less people are coming to church, and they come once a month, and all these issues that are going on. And I've been reading it for over a decade of all these things that are challenges for the church. But I read something this week, and it was almost hard to believe, that 60 to 70% of the churches now have disciple-making happening, discipleship, not from the pastors or the leadership team. It's coming from one another. And it's mentorship. You know, it's showing people how to do something. The age-old way of, like, if you were a carpenter, you would go and work with a carpenter so you would learn that skill and learn that trade. If you're an electrician, the first thing you got to do is work with an electrician for 2 years so that when you go and work at those circuits, you don't go and blow anything up. So, mentorship is so important. And as we become equipped, not just for ourselves, but for the next person. And actually for each other. And that's what Paul's trying to tell them. He's telling them that this gospel, this word of God, because the gospel is really all the way from Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, it's all the gospel because it's all about Jesus. And really, if you want to know the definition of the gospel, it's Jesus. And so the entire word has to do with Jesus. So the entire word has to do with the gospel. Plus the Holy Spirit's movement in us has to do with the gospel too. So what Paul is saying is, look, this came from God. What I am sharing, the reason I have dedicated my life, the reason I am planting you guys in these churches is because this came from God. This did not come from human beings. He said, I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation. Say that with me. Revelation. What does that word mean? I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. You know, we've always prayed in this church 100% healing, 100% restoration, and we've moved it now to also include 100% revelation. As we talk about Laura, I'm asking for the doctors to have revelation so that they can know what's going on. We need revelation in this world today. As I speak about what's going on in LA, I'm asking them to have a wake-up call of revelation that God is in control, that God is calling out their names, that God is calling out our names right now, this very minute, that God is calling us to our brother and sister. We need revelation. Paul has been given revelation. Paul says, for you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. Paul was like the Pharisee of Pharisees. He was like the highest echelon of learning. He was the guy who knew it all. He understood the law. He was walking with the law. And he was going to make sure everybody abided by the law. He was on this quest of taking down the church because he believed that the church, that Christ, was not the truth. And he believed that he needed to get people back to the law. But he was mistaken. And that's where he got that revelation. You know, can you imagine meeting Jesus face to face? Can you imagine that you're this person that's going around persecuting the church and persecuting the followers of Jesus and putting them in jail and even killing them, and then all of a sudden you meet Jesus face to face and he says, whoa, stop, don't do that. Matter of fact, what Jesus says to him, not only will you not do that, but you know, all that suffering and stuff that you've been causing, you're going to start experiencing some of that yourself because you're going to start getting on mission for me. You're going to have a revelation. What do you think Paul's revelation was? He's knocked off his horse. He's blinded. He can't see. I always talk about Ananias. Ananias is my hero, man. Ananias is the guy who they tell, hey, you know, God says to him, hey, Ananias, I want you to go talk to this guy named Saul, and I want you to go help him out because he's been blinded. And Ananias is like, whoa, wait a minute. Saul? Is that the Saul I know about? The one he's been persecuting us, he's been throwing us in jail, he's been killing us, and you want me to go talk to him? Seriously? Let's have another talk here, God. I don't know about this. This is not a good plan. So Ananias, to me, is my hero because Ananias does it. And Paul has this revelation. And it's not a one-time momentary revelation. And with us, it's not a one-time momentary revelation. That's why as we're in the Word for a year, we're going to have revelation every day. The Word of God is going to speak to us every day. It's going to show us every day. And then when we have our own trials, and we have our own challenges, we'll have that Word, and we'll remember what happened with Joshua or Moses or any of the people of the Old Testament, Ezekiel, and we'll understand that He's got our back. I mean, we'll understand. Like I said about that Book of Revelation thing, I understand that there's going to be people separated from God forever and ever and ever and in pain and torment. And I'm going to be spared. You talk about survivor's guilt. I'm going to be spared all of that. Now, I don't know if it's going to happen with a rapture. I don't understand the mechanics of it all. All I know is what the Word says is I will be sealed. But my brother here may not. And that pains me greatly. And it's becoming more and more real. That's that revelation. See, God doesn't show you brand new things that you didn't already know. He shows you things that you already know in a new light and a new intensity. Paul is in a new intensity. Paul says, but when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. My immediate response was not to consult any human being. And why should he? God spoke to him himself. He didn't need an accreditation from a university. He didn't need some human being telling him what to do. He met Jesus. And this is what I said a few weeks ago. I want us to really hear this. We have met Jesus. Can I get an amen? Now, we have met Jesus to a certain degree. And each of us have met him to a certain degree. And many of us are on a path of a higher degree. I'm not talking about college here of a higher degree. I'm talking about a knowledge of a higher degree of knowing him. Paul went to like the upper echelon. I mean, he met him face to face. He was given a revelation from heaven itself. Paul saw third heaven. We don't even understand completely what all that entails. But we have an opportunity here in 2025 to be equipped to know Jesus more. And do you think there's any ceiling on knowing Jesus? Do you think we can figure it all out when it comes to God? God is a big mystery still, isn't he? Do you think we understand all the workings of the Holy Spirit? The church can't even agree on all the workings of the Holy Spirit and all the different denominations. We have a partial knowledge right now. But as you are in the Word, as you allow the Holy Spirit to speak in and through you, you will have a greater revelation and you will get to a higher level. It's not a higher level like, hey, look at me. It's a higher level of, hey, look how close I'm getting. To reveal his son in me. That is so important. Those two little words, in me. That's why I like slowing down. In me. Christ in me. That's literal. That means Jesus is inside of Tom. Now, Tom doesn't always act like Jesus is inside of him. You can ask my wife about that. You can ask people that know me about that. And he fluctuates up and down, but he is trying to be there as far as with the Lord and understanding that Jesus is in me. As we get to the end of Galatians, I don't know if we're going to go through all Galatians or not, because we've done Galatians before. But as we get to the end of Galatians, what we learn is that the Holy Spirit is inside of us, and the Holy Spirit has fruit. And that fruit is love, joy, patience, kindness, long-suffering, self-control. I always mess up number 7.
Gentleness.
And I mean any one of these. If you could pocket, if you could put them in a little vial and sell it to people, you'd be a multi-billionaire in a minute. If you could just bottle patience alone. If everybody could just have perfect patience in everything. Perfect love. Perfect kindness. We have that inside of us because Jesus is in me. That is literal. That is revelation. That we understand that God is inside of us. Paul says, I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I were. But I went into Arabia. Later I returned to Damascus. So what Paul is saying here is, look, I didn't go and get trained by somebody else. I didn't get my commission from human beings. I have talked directly to Jesus, and Jesus told me what to do. Matter of fact, he told me I'm going to suffer for him. He did show me a bit of a road plan. He did tell me some clues of what's going to happen in my life. He didn't tell me the particulars. He didn't tell me where exactly I was going to go. But I knew that I was to go to Arabia, and I was to go to Syria, and I was go to the Gentiles. And mind you, this was outrageous. First of all, for Paul, it was so outrageous, it's crazy outrageous, because Paul is all about Judaism. Paul is about the law. He's about, you better toe the line or I'm going to throw you in prison. And now all of a sudden he's taken this 180 degree thing and he's going to go to the Gentiles? The Gentiles didn't even belong. And mind you, the church was also kind of stuck on it was supposed to be the Jewish and the Judaism was supposed to be the ones coming into, it was supposed to be the kingdom of God coming to Judah. Not to those Gentiles. But Paul is given the mission to the Gentiles. So he goes to Arabia, and he goes to Damascus. I just wonder what happened there. You know, part of Arabia is just desert. Nothing but desert as far as you can see. Not a lot of towns and cities, and especially way back 2,000 plus years ago. And this is a place where, you know, Moses would go out and he would just contemplate the Lord. And he would get his mission. This is the place of the Old Testament prophets. This is the place where people would have revelation. That they would get tight with God because they would have time with God. They would get tight with God because they'd have time with God. That's going to be 2025. We're going to get tight with God because we're going to have time for God. Because what I'm talking about is going to take some time. So he would have these amazing revelations. He had this first revelation by meeting Jesus. And I imagine it's like, you ever see one of those movies where somebody remembers their whole life and it goes by in like snapshots, like they're ready to die and they have all these snapshots of their entire life. Like, I did film for a while. So all these different film strips would go by. And then, of course, you know, they don't die because something happens. They get out of the car wreck or whatever it is. But they have that moment. I think Paul had lots of those moments. Only it wasn't a revelation of his life. It's a revelation of Jesus in his life. Of God and his purpose. Paul wrote like 3/4 of the New Testament. That's all Paul. He says, then after 3 years, 3 long years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. That's Peter. So I have to wonder, for 15 days, he sat down with Peter. The same Peter that walked on the water, the same Peter that denied Christ, the same Peter that got restored, the same Peter that watched everything happen in real time. See, Paul was different. He didn't walk with Jesus physically. Peter did. Peter was there. Peter was there at the crucifixion. Peter was there. He ran to the tomb. He was there at the resurrection. Peter was there in the upper room when the Holy Spirit came upon him. Peter had seen it all. And so now Paul has 15 days, or at least that's what he spent. What do you think Peter and him talked about? Jesus. I bet they swapped stories. Hey, you know, what happened with you, Peter, on that boat? You know, how did you walk in the water? And why did you look down? What's going on with that? Hey, Peter, why did you deny him? And Peter, how did you come back from all that? Because I want to come, you know, and then Peter might be over to Paul like, hey, what happened on that road to Damascus? I heard you got knocked off that horse pretty hard. Did you hit the ground? And when you were blinded, did you ever think you were going to see again? I wonder what the conversation was. And maybe it was some of that third heaven that both of them saw in different ways. Maybe it was a lot about the mission of what they're to do. And mind you, they both had a little bit of a different track because Peter was all about still Judaism and going after the church and going after the Jewish people. And Paul is all off on this other tangent of going after the Gentiles. And how are we going to meet in the middle here? But he's not done. He says, I saw none of the other apostles. Only James, the Lord's brother. Wow. Yeah, I mean, you talk about, like, if you could be with one person, you can't pick Jesus, no. But if you could be with anybody else for a full day, who would it be? I think James would be a good choice. I mean, if you read the book of James, it's amazing the wisdom that is in that book. Just the very idea of being slow to speak and quick to listen. Well, that, man, we could talk about that for days. That solves a lot of problems. That solves a lot of problems in relationships. If we just stop talking so much and listen, you know, and being slow to anger. And, you know, James has got a lot of wisdom there. But that was his brother. And so what did John learn from James? What did he learn from Peter? He was already had this revelation. And then he goes to the human element. And he gets more. He gets poured into more. And starts getting an understanding of the other half. The half that did walk with them. The physical half. And then he says something curious here. He says, I assure you before God that what I am writing to you is no lie. Huh. It makes you wonder, is somebody questioning him? Is somebody saying, hey, Paul, you didn't walk with Jesus. You didn't physically know him. What gives you any right to say anything? Or was it just that you got a little bit of hand-me-down knowledge, Paul? I'm sure that's what was going on. They were asking, say, hey, what did you talk to all those other people who got to see Jesus? And now you're going around telling us you're all this and something else, you know? But really, Paul doesn't have anything to defend here. He saw Jesus. But I want to really impress this upon us. We have seen Jesus. He says, then I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report, the man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praise God because of me. So ultimately, he is accepted. Ultimately, they do listen. I mean, ultimately, he changes the face of the Roman territory. Ultimately, God's mission starts moving out not just to the Judaism and the Jewish people, but to all the people, all the Gentiles. The Gentiles simply means somebody who's not into Judaism, who's not part of Israel. And so Paul is moving the gospel throughout Rome, and it is dangerous. He's putting his very life in peril. But see, that's what happens when you're given revelation. That's what happens when Christ is in you. That's what happens when you have that transformation and that change. So we're 2025. What I want us to do is get equipped. And you can get equipped in a lot of ways. I suggest first and foremost that we read the entire Word this entire year. Boy, by December 31st, look out. You're gonna know your stuff. And mind you, you're gonna get to parts of the Old Testament that you're not gonna understand. That's okay. Plow through. You're gonna get to places where you can't even pronounce their names. Plow through. You got that guy reading it for you. That's going to help a lot. Just plow through. And what I biggest thing in all of this is just keep on going. Persevere through it. And then come on in on Wednesday night. Because on Wednesday night, we're going to talk about how do we put the rubber to the road, the wheel to the pavement here. How do we make this thing happen? What do we do with this? How do we change our life? How do we change other people's lives? This is a year to get equipped, not just for yourself, and we need that. We need to be able to look in the mirror and take a strong look and start fixing ourselves up, man, fixing up the makeup here, okay? But we need to also be able to go and talk to somebody who's in our family. We need to be able to talk to somebody on the street. We need to have that kind of confidence that we know what we're talking about. We have to have that passion. Now, one word I skipped here was that zeal. See, Paul had a zeal for God. When before he met Jesus, he had a zeal. He had a passion. He was moving. I mean, he was the top of the echelon of understanding and learning. But he had it all wrong. Who does that sound like? It sounds like the entire world to me. We have zeal, we have passion for all kinds of things, but we got it wrong. Because the things that matter, when the fire and brimstone is raining down like it is right now in LA, the things that matter, you know, those people, they're going back to their houses. And they're trying to grab up what the things that matter. I saw things where people were trying to grab up their grandfather's Congressional Medal of Honor. And an Olympic champion who couldn't get his medals out of there, so they melted. Cars were literally melting on the street. And people couldn't get their pictures. They couldn't get this letter from their grandfather. These are the things that they found that really mattered. It wasn't that $6 billion house. It was the contents inside that house. It was the pictures of their kids. It was what matters to them in their life. But what really matters, more than any of those contents, is what's in their heart and in their soul, is Christ in you. One last thing I'll say. I was watching the news a lot today. This week I wasn't feeling well, so I was home more. And they had one actor on, Steve Guttenberg. If you remember him from, Police Academy. But he was out there, and he didn't even know if his own house was burning down. He couldn't get to it. But he was out there, and he was trying to help people any way he could. They had cars that people abandoned all the cars. And they left the cars in the middle of the road, so the fire trucks couldn't get in to take out the fire, because all these cars were left stranded there, and then people locked their cars and took their keys. They literally, I don't know if you saw it on the news, they had to use a bulldozer, and they literally were bulldozing the cars off the street so the fire truck could get through. So he was out there, and he was trying to get people's keys and trying to move their cars. He would see somebody, a person in a wheelchair, and he would try to help move them along. And what he said is, people were asking him, why are you doing this? You don't even know what's happening in your own house. Why are you doing this? He said, how could I not do this? I see somebody in a wheelchair, and there's fire all around them. How could I not do this? And what he said is that we should all be doing something, whatever we can. And I say that as we go through our lives, that we all should be doing something. I don't care if it's a Facebook post. I don't care if it's a prayer. I don't care if it's just a word of encouragement. But if we're all doing something, the army of believers will transform this world. 2025 is the year of equipping and transforming ourselves and everyone around us. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you for the example from Paul and the mentorship. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that he saw you. We thank you that we've seen you. As we give praise, as we sing out, I speak Jesus, we've seen you. We know you. But we want to know you more, and we want to share you more. So we need some equipping. We admit that we don't know it all. We admit that we need some help here. We need some help reading your word and getting through the whole Bible. I need some help with that, Lord. I've tried to do this, and I'm just going to be straight up. I haven't been able to pull it off. And so this year I'm reading your word in 1 year from start to finish. This year I'm going to help build disciple makers this year. I'm going to speak to strangers this year. I'm going to speak to my loved ones this year. I'm going to let you change me from the inside out this year. 2025 is going to be a very special year. And so, Lord, I pray that prayer over all of us right now, that we can do what you called us to do and be who you've called us to be. This we ask through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Your name is power. Your name is healing.
And here's the beauty of it. Your name, Jesus, is power. Your name, Jesus, is healing. Your name, Jesus, is life. It has nothing to do with us. It has nothing to do with our abilities. It has nothing to do with our intelligence. It has nothing to do with what we can accomplish. All it has to do with your name, Jesus, is power. Your name, Jesus, is healing. Your name is actually life, and it will break every, and we have a lot of strongholds out there. And it will shine through the shadows, and it will burn like a good fire, a fire and a passion, a zeal inside of us. You know, 2025 is going to be the year of the Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray.
Amen.
Dear Father God, we surrender to you. We give our life to you. We thank you for every breath, everything we take for granted, every moment of every day. We thank you for that right now. We thank you for all the people in our lives, all the treasures. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are not only with us, you are in us. We thank you, dear Holy Spirit, that you are in us. We thank you, dear Father God, that you are inside of us. May we go forth and show it. This we ask through the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. We are dismissed to love and to serve our Lord Jesus Christ.